Christ, you and peace from him who is the bread of life, who nourishes our bodies and souls with the bread of life. Please rise. Which is, of course, himself. I read these words from the gospel lesson this morning from Matthew chapter 14. Jesus told his disciples, "You give them something to eat," but they said, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. This is God's word. In Jesus' name. 5 little cakes, loaves, we think maybe a big loaves of bread. These were small little lunch loaves, I guess we'd say. Couple little small crappies, maybe. I don't know if that crappies back in those days, but 2 little small fish. That's all they had. And with this, they were supposed to feed some 5,000 men. Matthew adds, besides women and children. So maybe we're talking over 10,000 people, probably. Now, what was Jesus thinking here? How were they supposed to feed all these people with only 5 little loaves of bread and 2 small fish? Such meager resources. Of course, Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to see if they trusted in him. Did they believe in him or not? Did they believe he was God or not? Did they believe that he could take care of their needs or not? What about you? Is God sometimes testing us in our lives too to see whether we really believe in him and trust in him? Can we be happy and joyful and confident even when our resources run out? And that which the world thinks it desperately needs to be happy and content run out? Can we still be content or not? Sooner or later, I'm not saying something all of you don't know, at least many of you, we run into a point in life where our resources simply don't match our needs. This can be financial, where we just seem to run out of money. We wonder how we're going to pay our next bill. Some of you have been out of work. That was a big problem a few years ago. It still is for some. How will I possibly pay my mortgage, take care of my kids' education? It can be emotional, where we just can't handle a problem that comes up, maybe raising our children or maybe our marriage problems, whatever the case may be, and we just run out of emotional resources. We just feel like lying down and giving up on the whole business. We pray God take our life. Or it can be, of course, medical. We get sick, you know, and the doctor gives a diagnosis that is less than happy. And we wonder, how are we going to survive this problem? We simply don't have the resources anymore. And of course, spiritually, we often run out of resources, where we start to get confronted with our guilt. We wish we could go back and start over again sometimes. Gosh, if I could just start over in my marriage. I remember when I first got married, right? We think that way once in a while. Oh, we had all these plans. We're going to be perfect husbands. It just didn't quite turn out like we thought, did it? And we can't undo the problems that we have emotionally and spiritually. Like the disciples, we start to calculate, we start to, you know, figure everything out, and we start to figure that maybe I got to try to do this or that, and I can help myself, and we come up short. 5 loaves, 2 fish. What is that among so many people? What is the result of all our figuring and calculating? Well, we come up short, and then we get disillusioned, and we get depressed, we get anxious, we even get angry with God and people around us. What about you? Does your faith often get tested? Is your Christian faith only a Sunday morning thing? Where here on Sunday morning you sing the hymns and you pray your prayers, and then during the week you back off and start to trust in your own resources, and you think that you've got to take care of yourself. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy, warns the prophet Isaiah. Actually, God through the prophet. Oh, we work so hard thinking if we just work harder, earn more money, get a better education, then everything will be fine, and it's not. Now, of course, folks, we know God is not saying that we shouldn't get a job and save our money. This is the catch-22, isn't it? That we live in a world where we do have to get educated. We do have to get a job. We do have to save our money. We do have to have resources and not just depend on other people to take care of us all the time. And yet the catch-22 is that we start to think that if we have enough of that stuff, then we don't need God anymore. And our prayers become very routine-ish. Even though we know that God gives daily bread to all the wicked without their prayer, we're supposed to believe that God gives us stuff, and so we pray, even though it seems not to do any good sometimes, because we know that God is ultimately behind all good things that we receive. And we pray in order to confess our faith, that we know where things are coming from, in spite of the fact the table may be empty. We pray anyway, knowing that God's good and gracious will is done. Or as Luther puts it in the Catechism, we pray that God will lead us to realize that He gives all good things, and so receive whatever daily bread we have with thanksgiving. This morning, our Lord Jesus is calling out to us. Do you hear Him? What's He saying down through the generations? Do you hear what He's saying to you? Stop all your figuring, your calculating, your worrying. Bring them to Me, the little loaves and the two little fish. I can do amazing things for you. That's what Jesus told the disciples here in response to their discouraged remark, "We have only five loaves and two fish. Bring them here to Me," Jesus says. And He urges us to do the same today. "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll take care of you. I will give you rest." Do we really believe that? Then why do we worry so much and fret and are so anxious and angry and depressed and so on and so forth? Good grief, the Bible is filled with promises where God urges us to pray and promises to hear us. Just a couple, the psalmist, "Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Do you believe that? And St. Paul adds his assurance, "Don't be anxious about anything." Well, Paul didn't know what it's like, though, to live in the real world, did he? He lived back there in the first century somewhere. If he'd have lived today, he wouldn't have written that, would he? "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." With thanksgiving, there's an amazing thing. Even though you haven't seen an answer yet, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We thank God before we see answers. And then Jesus Himself, "I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or your body." Well, He didn't know either. I mean, for crying out loud. Had He lived today, He wouldn't have said it either, would He? "I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the sparrows of the field. They don't worry. God takes care of them." We have a story like this here to show us that Jesus does know our needs, and He can, in His own good time and way, handle our problems. Didn't He take care of the problem for these disciples? He took those meager resources, five little cupcakes, we'll say, and two little fish, and turned them into a banquet feast that fed over 10,000 people with stuff left over. What did they have, 12 baskets of leftovers that they could give out to the poor, I guess. I don't know what they did with it. And so we pray, don't we, as Christians? When we eat, when we go to the doctor, when we get in our car to drive somewhere, when we go on vacation, we pray. Because when we pray, we are confessing our confidence and our faith that we know where stuff comes from. God is in control. And even though, yes, we get our jobs, we educate ourselves, we save our money, ultimately, God is behind all this. That's what our prayers say. That's what we believe. You know, I think God may have a little bit more to teach us, though, through this story than just the fact that we'll get food on the table. Not just that He cares for our physical needs, but that He came to care for that which is at the bottom of all our real problems, right? Our sin. You may know this, besides the resurrection, of all the miracle stories that are written in the New Testament, this is the only one that occurs in all four Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The other miracles, you know, some have are in Matthew, some in Mark, some in Luke, but the feeding of the 5,000 across the board in all four Gospels, that's significant. Apparently, this was the most important miracle Jesus worked. If you know your Old Testament, you might be thinking of an event that's kind of in the background, right? The great Exodus from Egypt. How God fed his people with manna for 40 years so they could come safely into the promised land. Maybe that's what's going on here in the feeding of the 5,000. That Jesus wants us to know that he will give us the necessary resources, not only physical, but also spiritual, to get us through this life into the promised land. But gosh, like ancient Israel, we're so much like them. In spite of God's promises, we complain and we grumble. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the people said to Moses, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord when we had all this food to eat." But then God answered their complaining, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven on you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, and I will test them to see if they really trust in me and love me." And the people saw the bread on the ground, and they said, "Manhu, what is it?" From which we get our word manna. And Moses answers, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." In the Gospel of St. John, Jesus makes the connection between himself and this Old Testament miracle, that he is the real bread we need. He says, "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Here is the bread that came down from heaven so that you may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I give is my life that I give for the life of the world." And here we are today. Here we are today. This isn't a grocery store. It's much better. This is the bread of life here, where we receive Jesus' own body and blood in the sacrament. And I think that St. Matthew wants to make that connection too, that the feeding of the 5,000 and the great sacrament of the Lord's Supper, there's a close connection there. Did you catch the key words? For example, here in this text, Jesus took the 5 loaves, blessed them, broke them, gave them to the disciples. Listen to the Lord's Supper, where Matthew writes a few chapters later. Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." The early church recognized this. There's a connection here between our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer and the Lord's Supper. And so, the Lord's Prayer is prayed at every sacrament, isn't it? Give us our daily bread, or as that may be translated, give us the bread we really need, namely Jesus himself. You know, we tend to distinguish between spiritual things and physical things, but God is really concerned about both, isn't he? Just as the food we eat physically nourishes us and keeps us healthy, so the nourishment we receive in the Lord's Supper strengthens us in a much greater way so that we might live forever. And we are reminded of that in the post-communion blessing that our pastor speaks. "The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace." Stop your calculating and your figuring. Go to work. Go to school. Do what you got to do. If it doesn't work out the way you thought, go in peace. God will take care of it all. That Jesus involved the disciples in handing out this food undoubtedly reminded the early Christians that they have been called to be God's instruments in distributing not only physical food but the bread of life to people in need around them. As Jesus told the disciples after he blesses the bread, he says, "You give it now to the people to eat." Is that not the command our Lord gives us today too? Not just to pray, "Give us our daily bread," but when we pray this, God is tapping us on the shoulder and saying, "Yes, that's what I want you to do. I will work through you, through your gifts, your time, your talents, to take care of the needs of people around you." Do you know anybody in need? Not just physical needs, but spiritual needs especially. And so our Lord is urging us to share with those in need. So what do you do when your resources don't meet your needs? When all you have are 5 little loaves and 2 fish? Worry? Fret? Get anxious? Have stress? Or do you trust in the Lord Jesus and bring your cares and your worries to him? That's what he's urging us to do today. He will care for us, as we prayed in the collect today. Heavenly Father, you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Really? I think so. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts. There's a difference between you and the unbelievers. We acknowledge them. Give thanks for all your benefits, and then serve you in willing obedience. May God grant us this faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us join together in the prayer of the day. Please rise. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you are gracious beyond all measure. In the wilderness, your Son healed the sick, miraculously fed over 5,000 and satisfied them. We thank you for all you provide to support our bodies and lives today. Lead us always to look to you as a loving Father who knows what we need and supplies it, and make us content with what you give us, that we may not covet what others have or turn elsewhere for what only comes from your hand. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you have made us children of the promise on account of your Son. Let your promises continue to go to the ends of this earth. Incline the ears of all to listen, that their souls may live. Make pastors faithful witnesses of the Holy One of Israel, whom you glorified by raising him from the dead. Lord, in your mercy. O Heavenly Father, bless all those men serving in the public ministry of the church. Today we pray especially for our own pastors here at St. John's. Give them and all pastors in your church a rich measure of your Spirit, that they might proclaim your saving gospel purely and confidently to the joy and salvation of your people. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we also ask your blessing on all those who serve the children in our congregation and in Lutheran schools throughout our synod as Christian day school teachers. We especially pray today for your blessing on Gary and Deb Volberding. May they be faithful in their service. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Bless also, O Lord, those who serve as volunteers in our congregation, especially Deacons Randy Byrus and Scott Colbert. For all our board members who give of their time to the needs of our congregation, for our treasurer, Chad Brown, bless their service to your glory and our congregation's benefit. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for this land, that we may have devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, faithful labors, and the like. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. God of comfort, as your Son healed the sick, so also heal all those who are sick in our midst, especially all who have asked for our prayers. If it be your will, restore them to health, or give them strength to accept their affliction, as well as a hope for the day when this corruptible will put on incorruption. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Fathers, your Son fed the crowd with bread and meat, so also today he feeds us with his body and blood. Let us receive these worthily, trusting in your promise of forgiveness, that we may be strengthened in faith toward you and love toward others. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We gather offering gifts.